Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:00 PM. Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any town hall?
No.
Did you roll?
I will. Sorry, I didn't. Where's John?
John's
With Manny.
Yeah, he's with Manny. So I can note that he comes up.
Olson?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Poyer?
Here.
Sias? Oh, he's here, but
He's here.
Barry?
Here.
Picaro here, Dane?
Yes, here. And I already asked about town hall. Our agenda this evening, we're going to focus on the strategic planning session.
So we're coming up to the end of our strategic planning, or our current strategic plan, which runs through June of 2025, and so we're in the process of planning for our next strategic plan, which will be from 2025 to 2028. All the slides that I have, you also have in front of you, so feel free to look both ways. Today is just a brainstorming session. I have, we're gonna go through a SWOT analysis, really talk about our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. We're gonna go through a brief environmental scan and really think about what's going on in our community and our world that may be affecting the library and the way that we provide services to people and function. And then I have a list of questions just to help really facilitate discussion. I'm here today just to listen to your feedback, and I'll be taking notes as I go. So some of the things we might talk about early, we might not get to some questions. It's totally flexible, so this is just an open session for you all to share your thoughts. So before I get started, though, I just want to set the ground rules, right? We're trying to be critical of the library, but we do want to be respectful and professional as we need to do that. So looking into our 2025-2028 strategic plan, our goal is to have about 3 to 5 strategic directions. And then under those directions and those goals, about 5 to 8 activities. Looking at our current strategic plan, we have 5 strategic directions and goals, and under that, one of our goals had 20 different activities on like how to achieve that goal, which, you know, we really want to focus and dive into specific activities and goals that we can really expand on, or things that are flexible enough that can be interpreted in different ways. So for example, on our current strategic plan, one of our activities around lifelong learning is expand the world language collection. And we were able to do that with physical books, databases, offering different types of programs, right? So we can really interpret that goal. And so we really want to narrow down the amount of activities we have that support those directions. And then just a reminder that, you know, the library is a learning organization, and our goals may change as we work through them and activities. So we're really responding and listening and how we evolve to meet the needs. So, right, we can use many different examples. The fire sprinkler project, that was one of our strategic goals, and that kind of overpowered everything else that we were working on, because it was a necessity that became present that we needed to take care of for safety and the sustainability of our building. Or going back to COVID, right, we totally had to steer away from what our strategic plan was and evolve to meet the needs. So we don't really know what community needs may come up in 2 or 3 years while we're in the middle of this plan that we as a library may need to respond to. So we are an evolving organization. Just to review kind of the board's role in developing the strategic plan, the board is on the larger macro level, while the staff is on that lower micro level, where we're the ones developing the activities on how to achieve those strategic goals. Just to review what our current strategic goals and directions are, enhancing communication to the community, strengthening partnerships throughout the community, creating a welcoming space, promoting lifelong learning, and utilizing technology. So some of these may bleed into our new strategic plan. Some of them may evolve. While we're doing this, we're also in the process, as you know, doing our space needs assessment. And me and Carolyn are quite sure that a lot of the information we get from the space needs assessment in our community is really going to be guiding one of our strategic directions and our goals, whether that's, you know, upgrading the building and creating, kind of going back to our creating a welcoming space. We do have 2 dates now set with our space needs assessment consultants for product architecture to have community meetings, similar to what they did with you all a few months ago, where they talked about the potential of what a library building could be and the input that you had of what you wanted to see out of library space. They're going to take the information that they got from that community survey, come to the community on April 3rd at 7 p.m. and April 19th at 10 a.m. To hear the community's feedback about our building and our spaces. And then from there, they'll be able to develop schemes and ideas for how the library can progress. We have had a staff focus group, very similar at our staff in service day, which was in late February. At the beginning of this month, we held community focus groups. We had three different community focus groups, and then we also held a focus group with governmental entities, which included a representative from U46, some of the senior centers and the townships, the village, we invited the chamber, and all the different governmental entities. And this is in your packet, and this is some of the feedback that I've summarized from those groups. So right off the top of the bat, a lot of people have been talking about more inclusivity and accessibility for our building and our services. That's inclusive equipment and spaces, as well as programming such as sensory story times or programs for those with special needs or disabilities for all age groups. Modernizing with technology, having staff training on IT increase, and keeping up with the technology advancements. A lot of talk about our space utilization and our building infrastructure. A lot of people noted that our building is aging and needs a lot of updates to stay current with a lot of the other libraries in the area. Especially the children's area with modern toys, play structures, different layouts and decor. And a lot of that's gonna come from that space needs assessment and our product architecture peeps are gonna be helping out with that. Community engagement and outreach. We had a couple of people bring up the idea of homebound delivery services, so that's definitely something we want to be looking into in the future. Expanding our partnerships, including the IDNR, more partnerships with U46. People even mentioned Delicious Coffee right down the road. Increased social media presence, and a lot of people mentioned getting a digital outdoor sign, similar to what the Park District has and the Village has. For our own property to promote programs and services that the library has. Some more ideas on programs and services, again, more inclusive services and programming, more social programs, developing a post-program evaluation form, dedicated craft spaces, and more daytime programs for adults. And then I did ask the community about our staff and operations, as well as our staff. A lot said more IT training and more data. From our staff and our community, people want more training on our databases and our e-resources. So that's something that we're really going to start focusing on is promoting those services as well. Great. So with that, I just want to jump right into that. We have our regular board meeting at 7 p.m., so we're going to start our brainstorming session and do a quick SWOT analysis. And some of this might inform the questions that we get into later. But right, talking about our strengths, what are we good at, what are we known for, weaknesses, what are areas that we can improve, what projects we want to take on, issues we need to address, community needs, or challenges we may be facing. So, like I said, I'm here to listen. I'll just take notes, so feel free to shout out.
Excuse me.
I'd
like to ask a procedural question. My understanding is that each of these focus groups that you've had so far, we have been excluded from. And I don't see any reason to include the management team in our discussion. I think that will inhibit communication. So I'd
like
to... Be
a violation to the Open Meetings Act, because this is an open meeting?
I think they should not be here.
It's an open meeting.
Anybody off the street can sit down. So management staff, you think that they're going to be deterred from anything that we say or do? I mean, they certainly have heard enough at other meetings from any and all comments.
You were allowed to come to the meeting. Trustee DeSmit was at one community focus group. I asked her not to share information because you're a trustee. You play a completely different role in the community. We are trying to get information from the average community member. So these are different questions than I ask the community because you have a different experience with the library. But they were just open meetings as well. So
I'll speak for myself. I welcome the staff being here. Nobody knows more about this place than the staff.
And they will not be sharing their input. We're all here to listen.
Someone mentioned to me out in the public, they could not attend. They said what would be nice is to have a welcome sign maybe above the door when you walk in. Just something that says welcome. So they said they noticed there's a lot of like, know this, all these signs of saying no or don't, we don't allow. But a welcome would really be nice. So just sharing that with the public.
To tap on that, maybe have it in different languages, not just English.
A lot was covered in this. I mean, we could just repeat what's on here.
Right.
A lot was covered. This has really got it all.
Yes, so Lynn Quinta, I did include a handout as well of the summarized SWOT analysis from the community, staff, and governmental groups of feedback shared.
I think the follow-through on classes, if they're canceled, and they are canceled because the instructor can't make it, that there's some follow-through to reach out to the people who were kind of planning on attending and maybe reschedule it sooner than waiting for the next bulletin to come out.
Mm-hmm.
The strength is, I think the staff is more than approachable and willing to help every patron that comes to the library.
I like the idea about the other languages. The last time I was here, I think at least every patron that I noticed was speaking a foreign language. I thought it was a good idea about the welcoming. That's just an easy, double meaning intended welcoming gesture. But the more perfunctory signs could be in the more common languages too. I think everybody gets bathroom, but you know, kids area, stuff like that.
One of our strengths to our diverse community.
If the languages, do we have that software to translate for someone if they're trying to find something?
Yes. We do have applications that we can use. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we actually have a couple of people on our staff who speak Hindi, Urdu, Polish, and Spanish.
Okay.
So, is there a way to advertise that you have that? Because maybe some people come in and they don't know that it's available. Maybe we can somehow have something in a display that they can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
I think a couple of our strengths are our physical location, that we're geographically pretty much centered in the community. And I think that's something that we don't really realize or think much about. I think the other thing is that we have a fairly strong balance sheet.
Sorry, strong balance sheet?
Balance sheet.
Financial
money.
Okay, yes,
sheet.
That's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make sure I wrote it first.
I think amongst the weaknesses are the fact that we have a website that's inconsistent with modern technology and isn't compliant with federal law. And the thing that I also believe, and this was part of last year's evaluation for our state grant, that we have a staff that's unwilling to become involved in local organizations.
you share an example of what organization you mean? Like, are you talking
community
about
community organizations?
Like the chamber?
And
that's not an example. It's just
we're a member of the chamber, but I understand that at a recent chamber meeting, nobody was present from the library. And yet, when we have, like we did last summer, wanting to have a reward system connected with the community for participation in events, that there wasn't any interest on the part of the community. And I think that is part driven by we're just not present. I also think another weakness is that we're not addressing the needs of those who are in some fashion handicapped. I recently had a community member come to me and tell me that they thought the entire board of this library was not doing their job, and I asked them why, and their reasoning was that they had come to the library seeking services for a member of their family with a handicap, and been told that we didn't have the resources to do that, and the implied difference was we didn't have any interest in doing it either. And they made a point of telling me that those services are available at Poplar Creek Library and did not understand why we weren't doing those sorts of services. I've brought up on numerous occasions the fact that I don't think that we address the needs of those with disabilities and handicaps. And the response I've gotten from the staff here has been, well, give me the names of the organizations. Well, quite frankly, you're the professionals, you're the people who have the research capabilities and training.
So, and remind me, because I don't remember, do we have paid paternal leave here?
Yes, we do.
We do.
We have 6 weeks of paid parental leave. And then it's all covered under FMLA, but then after the 6 weeks of paid parental leave, your PTO. You
know. That's awesome. Okay, I was just wondering, because that's something big that we're seeing in libraries now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm saying, you know, like some of the feedback here was retainment of staff. Mm-hmm. So that could probably be a threat. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky that we have great staff that we want to keep staff that we trained here. And then maybe too, you know, we're seeing that as we're learning, how people are learning a little more, and just maybe the thought of play. And, you know, we see that in some of this feedback too. And not just play for children, but play for adults and teens. And what does that mean? Do we have space for that? Do we have programs for that? So maybe an opportunity.
Again, we'll dive into some of these a little bit deeper, so we can like explore that. This is just to get a general brainstorming.
I think it'd be nice to have more in-person computer education, whether it's with Google Sheets mm-hmm. or Excel, just some kind of a diversity in different levels of education, and you're seeing that.
There's an opportunity somehow to educate the community in artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. How that might relate to libraries and technology.
I think too, like a threat, you know, more in a macro sense is what we're seeing federally mm-hmm. with the thought of like IMLS being stripped from libraries mm-hmm. or how are we gonna respond to that? And stay relevant, really.
I noticed under threats you had about the newspaper closing, because we always advertised in the Examiner. Mm-hmm. Where are we advertising now?
We're going to start working with the BART letter a little bit more. I know that doesn't get obviously sent as frequently, but that might be in here.
Okay. We have the website.
Yes, we have the website.
The website, the letter, we've got the
herald. Yeah. Jackie and I have talked to you about, you know, going to the local coffee shops and things and hanging flyers on the bulletin boards and trying to get those people who aren't going to our website or looking at our newsletter. A lot of the community feedback we did get was really commending how well done our newsletter is. Everybody really liked it, but one thing they noted was maybe getting a newsletter more often. So whether that's on a bi-month, every other month, something to explore.
I would say a threat. I know in my tenure here, we've had at least one patron that we had to ban. And as a federal, maybe not federal building, but as a government building, there's all sorts of hoops to keep bad actors out of here that we have to jump through. Maybe if there's other experiences from friendly libraries to keep the bad actors out, that would be helpful.
I think a couple of opportunities that we have are, number one, the fact that we have not, to any appreciable extent, this was identified in our 10-year decennial report, interfaced with other government, local governmental units to see what sorts of sharing and joint programming we might do to benefit both entities or all entities involved. I think another opportunity that we have is re-examination of the methodology that we're using for budgeting. I think we're too tied into history and not looking forward. Our resources are always going to be limited, regardless of what happens. And we need to be tying our budget into what the needs are that we've got in our community. And as those have changed, we need to be changing with them. The budget should be reflecting that. The process should be reflecting that.
Well, I think this is a good starting point. So I'm going to jump in. We've already kind of talked about, like Monica was stating about, you know, the federal level, how that might affect the libraries, but is there anything else on a federal level, a community level, even a global level that might be impacting the way that the library operates? You know, some, I'll give an example from our community, right? Some people were saying there's an increase in neurodivergency, increase in mental health diagnoses that the library may be responding to. Technology, obviously AI is becoming increased, so as I mentioned, you know, education classes on that. So, or even in the library sector, right? Are there things you're seeing at other libraries that are things that we should be considering?
Chapter Library does that large screen. You can go to, you can look up all your library things, but you can also look at the books. You can also look at programs that are going on that day. It's kind of like a whole computerized window. And they're set up in different areas. Their size is larger than theirs, of course, but it just gives people some thought. And then I think Mallory, you and I were talking about trying to, like, if you like reading a certain kind of book, you know, then it's kind of like, hey, if you like this, you might like, you know, a reference of these. So I kind of like that idea, spinning, encouraging people to check out more.
Just got a new self-checkout machine if anybody wants to go over the circulation. It's still under configuration, but one of the capabilities is that on your receipt, based on what you checked out, it'll pop out and say, here's some recommended reads that you might like as well. So, but that's great.
Under social, I mean, I feel people come in the library, it's a welcoming place. You know, the people that come in, they know the different library staff, and they know to go to them for information.
I I think we're seeing this too, and we've talked about it, you know, there's more need that library is more of a social hub, and meaning that I'm going to come here to maybe meet, and I don't know if it happens here. I've hung out here, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it happens here, but like, you know, for DCFS visits. Mm-hmm. And so how do we support those families, and how do we give training for staff so that they're not like, oh, shell-shocked of what's going on, because some of it can be hard to see or understand what's going on.
Yeah, in one of our other community groups, somebody recommended, asked if we could get a private study room upstairs in the children's department for those types of meetings that are more child-friendly than what we have downstairs. People who might have like PT or OT, they're like appointments and things that they need to meet at the library. So that's a great one.
I think political too, and you have it here, but being part of a First Amendment audit was not fun for me. So having staff prepared for that, I feel like I was prepared, but we're not.
Yeah, once you're in the moment.
We're not.
Anything else? We can jump into the deeper questions and dive a little bit more specific.
Well, if politically, what's happening in Washington, D.C. might not affect us immediately, but it may affect us a year from now, 2 years from now, and to be aware of what's going on there, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this falls under technology, but we'll be marketing to the public on our website, that top header, so that people know that we have these communication devices, or that we offer, you know, different programs that might be coming up, circulating to the public what might be trending for our library that month. Just a little more out there. We know that we put the bulletin up, and then we have 3 months till the next one comes, and sometimes people don't pick it up a second time. So they have everything marked in circle.
That's what we said, right? It comes, you look at it, you set it on your table, and then it gets lost in your pile of mail for the next one. So I have all these questions in front of you. We don't have to answer these questions. These are just really to help, you know, facilitate some thought. So what do you see as the library's most important role in the community? And how well do you think the library aligns with our mission and vision? Are there any strategic priorities that you believe the library should be focusing on that we're not currently? Or what are key improvements that you'd like to see in the next strategic plan? And again, like I said, we might have talked about some of these things with the SWOT analysis. But if there's anything you want to dive deeper on, specifically for the next 3 to 5 years that you'd really like to see focused on, this is just a point for that.
I think, what do you see the library's most important role in the community? I think historically, libraries have been seen as like a place of like maybe just books, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we need to shift. I mean, and I mean as libraries and as a whole, it's like we're not just books, we're a community hub. And that means you can meet people here. You can have your PT like session here. You can work here. Mm-hmm. So just maybe redirecting what we think as a library.
Mm-hmm. Utilizing the space. We might, I know some other libraries that have larger areas where maybe there's a classroom of students that are going to get together and brainstorm problems. They have a whiteboard, they're working, they have a TV running, you know. Maybe a just more generous space for teen, children, adults, every department.
Under programs, I mean, there's such a time frame to start a program, you know, to get it online. Mm-hmm. I mean, we lose a lot of time to keep up with things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any way to work through that with the time to get a new program or service out. If there's a quicker...
Oh, so in other words, not waiting 3 months for the next...
Well, right, because like, you know, like Makerspace, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe that's yesterday's news. What's the next thing almost being...
Because we plan so far in advance, some things by the time it actually comes around,
right,
saying it's like...
And not something great anymore.
I think the class sizes sometimes are perfect. sometimes they're so small that you're on a wait list and you can get in. But if the class is that popular, you may already have an idea if you've done it before that it's going to draw a large crowd.
Yeah, we can talk about either of these. So going into programs and services, do you think we're currently meeting the needs of the community? What new programs would you like to see offered? How can we improve accessibility to our programs and services for the unserved populations in the community? So I'm going to make that note.
I think one of the things from a programmatic standpoint that we should examine is, are we meeting not only, because quite frankly, businesses have become a huge contributor to the library's tax revenues. Are we in fact meeting the needs of the businesses in the community as well as the ordinary citizens? You know, when you look at the Brewster Creek tax base, it's significant. And historically, when this library was a community-based library from the standpoint that most of our income came from the residents who physically lived here and for the most part worked outside the community. That has shifted, and I think we need to understand that there may or may not be a need, but I think it's something that we need to be examining and be aware of as we do programming and outreach to make those connections.
So basically, what are the needs of the business community? Okay.
The other thing with marketing and your services is the fact that there hasn't been one person I talked to that doesn't know that if they live in Schaumburg but they work in Bartlett, that they can come to our library and use their Schaumburg card. It's like that knowledge isn't out there. So somehow reaching the community, even though they may not live here in Bartlett, but they work here, that they can come and use our library. Many people do not know that they can utilize their card in different libraries. It's a way to draw people in. They feel they have to go back to their home to the library to get from the Bartlett.
We can skip and go back and forth, but just since we brought up marketing, again, if you have any thoughts about marketing, are there any ways that we can improve our public awareness or engagement? Joe's saying partnerships as well, having the library better connect with different community groups. Are there any barriers that prevent community members from fully utilizing the library? Like we've talked about the community really giving us feedback about homebound delivery service, people who are unable to come to the library. Is there any other community group like that? And then looking at those partnerships, are there other local organizations or institutions that you would like to see the library partner with? Or are there different funding opportunities that you would like us to explore, collaborations? And then how can we better enhance our role in the community from your perspective?
So there's a Ron McAdams House. They also have an extension over there. I want to say it's Wheaton, but it might be off the town. So there's some, I'm more familiar with the one up in Milwaukee. But they have local libraries that donate a backpack with maybe a book and something in it. And it's kind of an inviting thing because people feel welcome to the community. They're going to be here for maybe months, and this is an opportunity to reach out.
I think I see technology. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that, you can, if you have the packet, feel free. I can flip through my pages just so my thoughts are organized, but feel free to jump wherever you want.
Yeah, technology, and then there was underserved groups. Yeah, underserved populations in the community.
Mm-hmm.
There's an app called Right Here, H-E-A-R.
R, right?
Right, yeah, like
an R
left, right. and then here, one word. And it's an app on your phone that you can download, and it basically helps folks who are who have hard of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're able to hear through directions, like how to navigate the library and stuff like that. I know it, there's cost to it. You know, that's something else to consider here, right? Mm-hmm. Is that there's cost to technology and programs and these enhancements, but a worthwhile thing to maybe check into.
Well, with outreach, you know, we talked about the BART letter.
Yep.
Now, that comes out, what, every quarter or so, and it's hard to connect up with, you know, the time frame. You have to get it there by such and such a time, and it's 3 months out. I believe they have an online, like a BART letter, that is constantly can be changing, too. So mm-hmm. we can always get onto that, too.
Or even directing people to look at that site. Mm-hmm. People don't know that they can, you know, they can leave the library site and, you know, check out the village.
Mm-hmm.
One other published piece that might be awkward with us straddling with two different townships would be either Hanover Township or Wayne Township. I live in Hanover, I get Hanover stuff. I don't know, Wayne Township mm-hmm. probably has a possibility.
Well, you do the library does the book club, I think, at Hanover Township.
Yes.
You think they support that?
Yes. We do deliver books to the Wayne Township Senior Center. Right. But I know what you're saying, like getting the literature and stuff.
Yeah, if there's a void from the lack of the examiner for those who prefer printed media, we could do more in some of the existing books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it was discussed, not everybody has a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has an iPad. Not everybody has a phone to use. So they depend on the literature.
There's also programs, I forgot like the name of it, but I'll look it up, but there's like a, where a company, it's not like based in a particular community, they sponsor like laptops to low income folks,
mm-hmm.
and they ask for their tax returns, and then they're able to give laptops to those folks that qualify. I'll look it up for you. It's supposed to be a
that program runs through a library?
Yeah, I mean, they partner with, like, organizations, and then people just, like, apply. Like, they come that day, they apply, they bring their taxes, and then they're just like, oh, yeah, you qualify. Here's your laptop. And off you go.
Yeah.
Can we do something like robocalls? I know Hanover Township does robocalls about different activities that are coming up or something. I mean, getting people permission, obviously, that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, just to let you know, a lot of times it's with the cafe saying that it's a piece of pie, a free piece of pie.
Well, they send something up when they're closed. Hanover Township says, we're going to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be open on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll send out any big events
mm-hmm.
or concerts, things like that. So
yeah, one community member did mention the idea of getting like a text message subscription kind of newsletter for like that exact same thing too.
And again, with their permission, obviously.
Yes.
Some libraries have small group of employees that are tech support people. So that if people actually have a question,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily how to turn a computer on or how to, you know, something simple, but they're working on a project or something and they maybe it's a PowerPoint or Excel or that, and there's stuff, there's some always computer reference. There's like maybe a desk that's designated for computer reference, mm-hmm. so that people know where to vote yes mm-hmm. or no.
So obviously we've been talking about technology, but if there's anything else that is notable that you feel the library should be investing in. Sorry, Lynn already mentioned, you know, more technology and computer training classes, or how we can ensure more equitable access, kind of like Monica is saying, you know, doing this laptop loaning program. Obviously with our space needs assessment, we've talked a lot about our building and spaces, but you know, outside of totally renovating our library, are there large-scale projects that you think we should really be focusing on right now? So things that were mentioned, like our HVAC system, like I'm very warm in this room right now, but if you go over by adult services, it's very chilly. So something like that is a major priority for, I know, our staff members. Or if there's any other ways, like we're talking about ADA accessibility, into the building design, or just create a more inclusive environment for people. And then lastly, talking about staff and operations, you feel that we have adequate staffing levels to meet the needs of our community. How can the library better support our staff professionally, in your opinion? Or are there any changes needed in library policies to improve our operations? And how can our staff better engage with patrons to enhance their experience?
Does the staff, you know, people are always milling around the library, you know, the staff are at their desks and everything. I mean, do they walk around by the shelves and say, oh, are you looking for a book or can I help you with something? I mean, I'm not sure if that's something that's being done. Because sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I need a new author or whatever, mm-hmm. who you recommend.
I think staff does amazing with the levels that we have. I really do. I know how hard it is to kind of like, oh, the community wants more, and I'm one person, so I totally get that. But adequate staffing levels, I unfortunately don't see that. An example of that is like outreach. You know, we see bookmobiles, and we want to have more. Yeah, but like, you know, having a scheduled yes. bookmobile yes. or having more staff to go to maybe schools or home daycare facilities, and all of that is staffing, right? We can only ask so much of our staff that we right. currently have without it being totally overwhelming mm-hmm. and burning people out. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. That's a thing.
Well, you guys do the hiring for the staff, so mm-hmm. you set qualifications. So maybe look at standards that you're thinking that may be approachable in an application to where we're meeting the community needs. So if we're kind of, you know, not real sharp on something, or we need something.
I know what you mean. So if we need more people who are versed with technology, seeking out.
Or whatever, right, like exactly. There was a program years ago, was run by Leona Rush in the teens, and she had out a really cute letter, and certain people were writers, a lot of students mm-hmm. kids were writers, and they had her column where they wrote a poem or a short story, and they were right at the teen desk, and you know, everybody just looked forward for that coming out, and she, yeah, they just went, they threw up their desk. Something that we can engage the public, and especially with teens or kids in junior high, they're up the grade mm-hmm. and where they can maybe show off some of their writing skills.
Yep.
I think we need to figure out how we can utilize those people in the community who are interested in volunteering. All I hear is roadblocks to that occurring, and I'm sure that there are still organizations that use volunteers effectively and don't run into wage and hour regulations as far as problems. So maybe it's a mindset, maybe it's a more in-depth exploration of what the possibilities are. I don't know the answer, but you know, when you have limited resources, as I said before, you look at how are you utilizing those resources. And maybe the way that you're utilizing them needs to be adjusted to align with what's happening as far as the on the demand side and utilize other services or other inputs wherever possible that have little or no cost.
Welcoming patrons, I feel that where the checkout unit is for the books, it's a great place for somebody to have their area. People walk in, they can welcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often there's people in line checking out and there's not that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it just a thought, it's a new checkout thing. Maybe it has its own little terminal area that's a little more eye-catching in another location rather than right there.
Yeah. I think too, training for staff, and we see that. But, you know, I was very happy to see like more staff attend like last year's ILA. So by supporting training for staff to go to these conferences, it's not a free vacation. It's people come, you know, go to these conferences, gather ideas. And, but, you know, things training doesn't have to cost money, too. It's getting, and I'm sure you know this, you know, getting, like, articles and talking about how to, mental health. How do you deal with some of the stuff that you see on the floor that you're like, whoa, I signed up to be a librarian and not like a therapist here, but it weighs on you, so.
Visiting other libraries, that was mentioned in that one I sat in on, but I didn't see it listed on here, maybe it is. But just staff visiting or certain staff visiting other libraries to see where their success is or how things are organized or presented. Just another way to gain some knowledge of what competitively is out there.
Thank you. All right, I know we're coming up to 7 o'clock, so I just want to go around the table, and I want everybody to choose one thing that we talked about today. What is your priority that you want the library to be focusing on in the next 3 to 5 years? I'll keep my notes here. So, Lynn, do you want to
start the list?
Joe, do you want to start? What's your priority?
Replacing the library.
Replacing the library. Come on.
Right, what I mean is new facility.
New facility. Yeah, building.
That's not good.
Monica?
It's just an idea.
It is. I'm sorry.
I think we're trying, you know, adequately, but seeing us become more of a community hub and not maybe a traditional library, and we're trying to do this, but like what's mentioned in this conversation, you know, having rooms to have these types of opportunities, but also empowering our staff to have, you know, to have these trainings and stuff like that, so that we can do that adequately and that staff don't get burned out.
Say staff retention.
Okay.
engagement with the community. That's exactly what I wrote, to, you know, open up the library to more programs to be available.
I would piggyback on the engagement, but especially with the English as a second language crowd, I think there's a very clear opportunity to get more engagement with them. I do also agree that the physical location of the library is a huge asset, and if we can get something more high profile, exposure wise, on South Bartlett, that could only help.
Actually, I have two things, community engagement and staff development.
So we have a holistic approach to encompass all with marketing and community resources and technology education. Holistic approach to encompass all marketing and community resources and technology education.
All right. Thank you all. So I hope that concludes that. The next steps, obviously, we have Ed and Rich coming to our 7 p.m. meeting from the community survey group. We'll be going over the survey results, and we'll be having our Space Meets Community meetings, as I mentioned, in April. We're going to take all the information we get from our Space Meets assessment, our community survey, these focus groups, and we're going to accumulate it, and we're going to analyze the data, and hopefully by the April meeting, we'll have a draft of some strategic directions and talk with our management team about some activities. Obviously, by our April board meeting, there's still going to be one community town hall meeting for the space needs assessment on April 19th. Or actually, that's right before the board. But nonetheless, we can't analyze the data that quickly. So by the May meeting, we'll have a really robust final draft for everybody to review.
You said you had a meeting with different entities in Bartlett. From the village, who attended the meeting?
I am not sure. Carolyn loved that meeting. I was not here that day.
Okay,
so that's a good question.
So you have no idea who attended the meetings?
I did not get the
okay.
attendance list. I didn't.
Just curious.
It was necessary to have every meeting. But Carolyn has that. So if you have any other feedback, obviously your board meetings every month, you all have our email, our phone numbers, evaluations, and feedback is constant.
As the process moves forward and the strategic plan is reduced to specific items, I would like to see those items quantified either in a date to be obtained by as far as minimally acceptable, expected, or exceeds expectations, so that there really is a goal and not just verbiage that really isn't trackable as far as whether it was accomplished or not. And I think that helps to keep organizations on target, and it becomes clear to all in terms of whether things are being met. If something untoward occurs and those need to be adjusted, then those can be brought back to the organization that's responsible for overall approval and agreement reached.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we've talked about as a management team, is a lot of the activities and goals that we have are not very measurable in any ways. One of the activities is just greet every patron. You know, it's how do you measure that? You tally everything. You greet someone, it seems kind of excessive. So that is something that we're really considering as we go forward. Like I said, if you have anything else, you have these questions, if things come to you tonight while you're lying in bed and you're, all you're thinking about is this board meeting, feel free to pass it along.
Good job, Mallory.
Thank you, Mallory.
Thank you.
Very good.
Is there any town hall?
I'll bring a motion to adjourn this committee.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Picaro.
Yes.
De Smet.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Okay, we'll take a 5-minute recess.